Everyone, it is 6:09 p.m. on the 26th of October. And to say I'm busy would be an understatement. I'm overwhelmed at the moment. I haven't been on the air as much as I'd like to be. And, well, you know, life throws some interesting challenges your way. And, you know how it is. You just roll with the punches and keep striving. I mean, that's the key. You just keep on striving and striving and try to get through all the work. What's going on in the world is a little bit beyond belief, and I'm going to try to talk about that a little bit tonight. But I thought I would give us a reinforce some information that I think is very important and helpful. One of the things that I've been looking at again in the book, The Might of the Thoughts from Edward Albert Meyer, is that concept of hope. And it's talked about on page 350, that hope is a form of expectation which is directed at something quite definite. And here's the passage that's really been sticking with me lately. Thus, the hope is therefore also a motivator of the forward progress. So hope is a motivator, and it's a motivator forward towards your goal. So try to put that in your memory and hold on to it. The definition of hope is that it's a feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. In the German language, Hoffnung is the word for hope. I may not have pronounced that all that well. Contact Report 372, Billy says, anyway, one must never give up hope. Contact Report 18, Billy says, the creational takes possession of his or her consciousness, which is why his or her senses are full of peace, strength, joy, knowledge, essence of wisdom, truth, and hope. Might of Thoughts, page 360. However, each achievement of a capability means that a battle must be fought within oneself. So there is kind of a battle that takes place. And remember, we want to remain neutral, positive. Neutral, even in the face of very difficult things. If we can maintain our neutrality, then we're not taking ourselves too seriously. And if you take anything that you do or anything associated with yourself too seriously, you can do harm to yourself. So that's something to kind of watch out for. Oh, I wanted to talk about the creation shortly here, just briefly. The universe that we live in terms of its category, what category of living being it is, in the Meyer information, it's referred to as a Wesenheit. And the Wesenheit has no personality. The universe has no personality. And it has a free will to a limited degree. Its own determination is kind of in question because, or I would say less self-determination even than human being, because the universal consciousness follows the creational natural laws. And it's governed by a higher power called the Ur-creation, a higher consciousness power. So our creation is the youngest creation type that's there. We still have material in our universe. And I say thank goodness to that, because I'm a little bit too attached to the material, probably. And it's harder for me to imagine a universe without a what they call the matter belt, which is there are seven counter-rotating rings in our universe. Much like if you cut a tree down, you can see the growth rings. Well, our universe kind of has growth rings, except they're of different sizes and they rotate counter and counter. You know, one goes to the left, the other goes to the right. And the fourth belt is called the matter belt. That's where all the stars and the galaxies and the suns come from. and they reside in there, the solar systems, the galaxies, all the matter, the comets, the moons, the stars, everything, the nebulae. And our universe is expanding. It's expanding at a tremendous pace. And there's something called the Zohar in the Myra Formation, which we kind of refer to also as the Big Bang in some ways. Very similar terminology. So, but our universe is a Wesenheit. It's not perfect. It's still evolving. It's very different than the religious concept of God. But it's the greatest, the creation, the universal consciousness, is the greatest power and the greatest wisdom in our universe. But it's still learning. In fact, it creates human beings as a part of its own evolution because it's still evolving up to higher levels and higher levels. There are many different higher levels, many different universes. So the notion that our religions have is very different from the way the Meyer information speaks of this. And it's quite intriguing what's talked about, the Wesenheit. Stones, water, gas are all Wesenheit. No personality. But I believe they are still a form of life. There's life that has movement, and there's life that has really almost no movement. So it's a broader category of understanding in the Meyer information. So we are told to be responsible for ourselves, which is a little different than the way the religions teach. The religions encourage a kind of dependence on a all-perfect, all-powerful being. Now, what's interesting is the human being has two kinds of consciousness, a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. The spiritual consciousness has a power source that's called the spirit form. And the spirit form is the part of you that never dies. It's considered a tailstock or a fragment of the universal consciousness. And this Geist form, as it's called in the German, enters into the body of the child 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. So that's when the thinking begins, and there's even some profound thinking that takes place even at this very, very, very young age, and you have this tiny little fetus in there. So we shouldn't take life in the womb lightly, especially after the 21st day, because there is a spirit form in there. And the spirit form is the part of you that never dies. And you're designed to learn in each lifetime and evolve. And this is the information that you learn in this lifetime will be stored in your spirit form. When you go back, when you leave the body, the spirit form leaves the body. It takes the material consciousness with it, and it goes into like an energy band around our planet, and the spirit form will go through your entire life, and it will take out these essences like love and peace and strength and knowledge and truth and hope, and it will store these, the spirit form stores them, and while the new material consciousness is being created, the evolutive values, these essences of wisdom, are stored in your subconscious. So every once in a while you'll see this very, very gifted child that for one reason or another, he's just allowed his wisdom that's stored in that subconscious to come out. And the child may be a math genius or a musical genius. And some of that is also related to the experiences associated with the previous life, because all that wisdom is programmed into your subconscious. So when you come into the new life again as a new child, you'll leave off right where you left off, you know, in your last lifetime. You'll have to be a child again. You'll have to learn how to control your bodily functions. So you'll still have a diaper when you start out. You'll have to learn to speak again. You'll have a different set of parents. You'll be living in a different time frame, and, you know, in a different age. You'll have different friends. You may be living in near the same area where you had your previous lifetime. But the whole purpose of life is evolution of the consciousness, to grow in wisdom and knowledge each time that you reincarnate. And that's why the universal consciousness put mankind on the earth, so that we would kind of be boots on the ground for the universal consciousness. Eventually, we finish this whole reincarnational cycle, but it takes eons. It takes a long, long time. So you'll be, there are seven stages, and we start out in primitive life, and then we go to real life and an intelligent life. We go to primitive life, rational life, which is where most Earth humans are, even though we're not always rational, intelligent life, real life, life in creational wisdom, life in the half physical, half spirit form, and then seven stages through a completely spiritual status. And it takes a while to get through all these different levels. For example, to get through the first five stages takes between 40 to 60 million years. Now, part of that 40 to 60 million years were on Earth in a physical body. Part of it were in the spirit realm of our planet, basically reviewing what we've learned last time, taking notes, as it were. That's a bad analogy, but it's stored in our spirit form. It's stored in the universal storage banks, all those things that we did in the previous lifetime. And then we start the preparation for the new lifetime. And then the whole pattern begins again. Now, you know, there are planets in our universe, and especially in our galaxy, for example. And some of these planets are inhabited by people. They may not be exactly Homo sapiens sapiens, but if you looked at them, you would say, boy, they look a lot like us, because generally they do. Now, there are some exceptions, but extraterrestrial life is generally not weird and bizarre. Although what we learn from the Meyer material, there are some cases where it is, but mostly the pattern that's followed is very similar to the pattern that's taken place here on Earth. And that's going to be a big wake-up call for a lot of our scientists, because there's more commonality in the universe. It's not as much science fiction strangeness that as we have seen in so many of our Hollywood, I don't even know what you want to call them, programs or films or shows or movies. And a lot of that stuff that you see on the movies is intentional. They're conditioning you to have fear against extraterrestrial life. Because eventually, at least in my opinion and the study that I've done, and this doesn't, I have not found this in the Meyer information that I can remember, but what I understand is eventually they want a hoaxed alien invasion. And what it's all about conditioning the public. That's what we're going through right now, a tremendous conditioning process. And it has more to do with fear, with anxiety and doubt. Because they can weaken you through anxiety and doubt. And then they can get you to comply to the modus operandi of the New World Order, which is coming, unfortunately, very, very quickly. I'm hoping to talk a little bit about that in this program. So I was talking about reincarnation. I talked a little bit about the spiritual consciousness, which, by the way, is kind of your internal best friend. Your spiritual consciousness sends you these direction determining, guiding impulses of wisdom. Listen to them. You'll get a hunch. You'll get a very good feeling about a certain thought, a certain decision that you've made, and go with it. Trust yourself. That's one of the most important things that we need to do is learn to do is trust ourselves. And that makes hope more easy too. Thus, the hope is therefore also a motivator of the forward progress. A motivator of the forward progress. So one of the things we want to always do is we continue to strive. There are about four creational natural laws, or five, that I talk about a lot. One is love. It's a kind of an impersonal love. It's a love that's not romantic. It's a very neutral, positive love. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. So there's actually an absolute logic to creation. And you have to analyze things like how the forest works and how, for example, the forests are so important because they moderate the weather. The shade in the summer keeps it cool, keeps it from getting too hot. You know, also in the winter, the trees and whatnot help to retain a little bit of that heat in, because everything doesn't reflect back. You know, so the forest is incredibly important. The wind blows over the top of the trees, creates a turbulence which eventually causes cloud formation and rain. So everything has been designed with an incredible wisdom associated to it. But the Meyer information says it's not designed by an all-perfect God. It's designed by a super intelligence that's also growing right along with you, that's evolving. But it's a much higher level than a human being. It has a greater wisdom. And the impression I get, and I like to discuss this information because I like to hear what other impressions that other people get. But what I get is that the creation is like this juggernaut. It never stops striving. It has a rest cycle, and it has a expansion phase and a contraction phase, but it strives for trillions of years. Like, already our universe has been expanding for 46 trillion years. Now, our scientists, they cannot view fine matter yet. But there's something called fine matter, which exists for trillions of years. And it's not detectable yet by our scientists, but our universe is much older, and it's been striving for what we would consider an eternity already. Striving, and this is page 102 of the book, The Way to Live. And if you have that book, put a bookmarker on that page and come back to this page again and again. Because it will help you out in terms of your life. It will give you a little focus that you need. Because, let me just read it. It says, striving creates the life right up to the being. Striving means delectation in a form which is always fulfilling and progressive. To be without striving means unwillingness and affliction. Affliction is inhibited striving and inhibited life. But inhibited striving and inhibited life bring inhibited evolution and stagnation, hopelessness, grief, confusion. So do not stop striving. Hold on to your striving harder than pretty much you hold on to anything else. Let me switch gears quickly and talk just a little bit about some kind of pressing topics. The global elite know there is an overpopulation problem, and they have decided to use vaccines to destroy or reduce the world's population slowly. This is my take on it and the take of other researchers. I have not heard Billy come out and say this verbatim, so take it with a grain of salt for what it's worth. The population reduction will start to occur over the next several decades, and governments will reduce civil liberties until they have a compliant public which will accept the mandatory vaccinations. The vaccinations will slowly weaken your health, and death will come over the course of a few decades. It will be difficult to prove in court that the vaccinations are the real cause of death. This is my take on it. Other people's takes too on what's going to happen with the overpopulation problem, which is our biggest problem by far. So, the radical left in the United States are the people that are bringing in a communist-style government. And in 1994, the guy named R.J. Rummel wrote a book, Death by Government, and he told how the communist countries have killed about 110 million people since the 1900s. And we don't really have access to all the communist archives to really have a true, precise knowledge of how many people have been murdered. In 1999, another fellow named Stefan Kortios did a book called The Introduction to the Black Book of Communism. And he gave a rough estimate of 85 million to 100 million people killed by the communists. And there's a whole lot more to say about that, but let me just say that Billy, in the book called Kelk der Wahrheit, or The Goblet of Truth, he talks about the practices of the inhuman Roman Imperium, which established an evil consciousness conditioned tyranny, and our consciousness is being conditioned. And the way I look at this is seatbelt laws, no smoking in restaurants, gun control laws, politically correct speech, masks being required, raw milk not allowed, forcing pasteurization. They're slowly taking away our civil liberties. And there are certain groups like the Weather Underground Organization, which I don't know if they're still there or not, but they back at some point just declared war on the United States. And there was a guy named Larry David Grathwall, which was actually a United States Army veteran and an FBI informant. And he was the guy that ran this organization. So the communists have been working on this about 50 years now. And now we see Antifa and Black Lives Matter, which are the rapists and burglars and child molesters, and the killers are being let out of our jails. And this will be a very telling election, and you're going to see chaos like you've never seen it before. And the Meyer information says two civil wars are coming. So anyway, I'm going to stop a little short on this. There's a lot more I could say, a lot more I want to say, but hopefully that'll happen soon another day. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.